worshiping the Lord. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, you have been so good to us, Lord, in this place. We are kind of quiet because the last service, and we don't know if we're going to meet again in this world or we're going to be together in eternity, Father God. And that's what counts, to be ready to meet you. Lord Jesus, thank you for each one here. We're so thankful for what you have already done, like we said. We pray tonight somehow something might be said to help us all. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes you go through a battle, mental battle, spiritual battle. And I was feeling the people the last few days. And probably I live with one desire to go and study more seriously the doctrine of repentance. You know, if we know what repentance is and how to repent, we will overcome a lot of problems, you know that? You know, forgiveness to each other demands repentance. There is, like I said, many homes that are broken because the repentance doesn't exist. Crimes committed because repentance doesn't exist, and so on. And I will say that repentance is one of the key words. And this morning we start up a study about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what it is. It probably was a little different than somebody else will do. But what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to relate your thought or your experience to the Word of God. You know, I will be probably gone and Wednesday morning, and I knew better than let Brother Cyril plan my schedule, line me up with 20 services ahead of me. But whatever the Lord wants, that's what counts. Am I right? You know, we want to please Him. That's all that it is to us, you know. We have no choice. But I will say this. I'm so thankful to the Lord that I can serve Him. And what I'm interested mostly, it's what I say. If by my absence, it's not missing anything, but can stand. You think what I'm saying? I will be gone, but probably you can open your Bible and say, here's the Holy Spirit doctrine, that's what it is, that's what it is, that's what it is. So it's not based on a man, but it's based on the Word of God. Am I right? You know? Like I said, we could have gone through a service or some services and make everybody feel good and dance in the Spirit, which I believe, and I believe, and I believe. But, you see, the thing is, we live in a crisis hours. And I have heard so much about people all over the world going through depressions, uncertainties. They don't know what to do. They are turmoil. They are tormented. We don't realize these things, but they are going on all the time. We don't realize behind what's going on behind closed doors when a soul comes and dances in the Spirit and go back home and says something is missing. But on the other side, if we can place our desires, our needs on the Word of God and say, here it is, that Word becomes life back to us and gets us going, gets us going, gets us going. That's what I'm trying to achieve this morning about the paraclete, that we have a defender of the court of justice. I just love that. What do you think about that? Amen?
Amen.
Because, you know, you're not left alone. You can open the Scripture and say, God said so. The Scripture doesn't have a contradiction. We contradict it. I read a quote, I don't have it with me, Brother Branham said this. He says, if you cannot find what you think in the Bible all the way through the Scriptures, don't take it, he said. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
Why? Because you don't have two Bibles, you just have one. And people don't understand the revelation. That's why sometimes you have big conflicts. They think, a person thinks can get deep in God by knowing more. You don't get like that deep in God. You get deep in God by knowing nothing but just Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
Correct? That's what it is. You know, the Scripture doesn't make any contradiction. Do you know that? There's no terror. It reminds me one time I had a night class, and I was teaching at night a graduate course. And I hope nobody's Mormon here, but the Mormon religion believes in genealogy. You know, they go back and baptize for your grandfather, your grand-grandfather, George Washington, and all the way down to Adam. You're baptized for everybody, you know. And by that baptism for the dead, they believe you that that person will be in heaven. So they are very, very fair in genealogy. And if you ever go to Salt Lake City, that I have been sometimes, and you see there, there are stores that have the charts that they put for genealogy. You start from here, and your daddy goes below, and your granddaddy, and all the way through. And if somebody's not a Mormon, you're baptized for them, and they're going to go to heaven. That's why they believe. The genealogy is very strong, and that class that I had was most of them school teachers and principals. And there's nothing worse to have a class of, I think it's a high school teacher, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's nothing worse to have a class with elementary school teachers around April, May, because they have been aggravated with the kids so much and their volume is so high. When they are talking, you know, it's a pandemonium, you know. Everybody screams instead of talking because they think they're still with the kids at night, come to class and... So they were screaming to each other, and one of these ladies was getting to my nerves. And I know this, I don't understand women, and I don't think anybody ever understood it. But I said to myself, there's one law of average, just let one take care of the other, and I better stay out of it, you know. It's like two Italians fighting in New York, try to separate them, and in a second they'll unite and beat you up. So I said, I better leave them alone and try to let them do it. So at the end of there was a break, and I got out. I went to my office, and they had one of these ladies that was bugging me, and they said to her, we'll beat you up if you don't shut up. Just leave that guy alone. He doesn't bother you. So once they took it in their hands, I said, I better stay out of it. So she was still persistent. She said... I said, what would you like to do in the class? Would you like to write a paper or would you like to take a test for a final grade? I cannot grade you by looking at you. I said, what do you want to do? Well, some of them says this and that. I says, how many a paper? Okay, we'll go to a paper. And that Mormon lady was saying to me all the time, raised her hand. I said, I want to write about genealogy. You know, she was getting to me, really. So I said, okay, I just ignore her. The more I ignore her, the more she was getting into it. And I see the rest of them looking at her like that. So I said, boy, I said, they're going to fight it up here one of these days, because I never took a role in class. I just let them come and go anytime they wanted, as long as they knew the materials. I didn't want for them to look at me. They can go home as far as I'm concerned. So I said, what do you want to write about? She said, genealogy. I thought I'm going to give him some kind of a message subject to see what she's going to do. I said, okay. I said, you go to your Bible, go to the book of Jude. She's writing down, you know. I said, I want you to write a paper about why Enoch was the seventh from Adam and not the eighth. She wrote it down. Thank you, thank you. She come at the end of the class. So I just left her alone, you know. I just left her alone. So next class, I go to class. I said, all subjects have been assigned, cannot be changed, will stay. So she won't come back with me and change it later, you see. So I was one step ahead of her, you see. So she tried to work and work and work and work. And then she went over to see her bishop and wrote some letters to Salt Lake City and went through the whole thing about genealogy. Why Enoch was the seventh from Adam, not the eighth? You know, in the message, you know why, right?
Amen.
So about 2 weeks before the end of the semester, said to me, I want to see you tonight after class. I said, no, I don't want to see you because I got things to do. I said, probably I was prolonging time, you know, to get her close to the end of the semester. So I get her in a little more pressure to see what she's going to do. So that's the wrong thing to do to a woman, but just you're doing that. So she came to my office, knocks the door, she comes and says, I got to change subject. I don't know what I'm doing. I said, that's what you wanted. That's what you get. What's the problem? And she said, I was told that you're a nice guy. I said, try to do your best and see where you go from there. So the next class, you know what I did? I said, you tell us what's your problem. So she got up and said, I just cannot figure it out. So I had a chance one class to to tell him about serpent seed. So I got into Adam, and everybody liked it. Continued, they didn't want to take a break, so I started from Genesis. I went to Revelation. So I said, Lord, it's so perfect, the Word of God, but if you try to put it with reason and intellect, it doesn't work. Am I right?
Amen.
You got to have a revelation to do it, you know. So I'm so thankful to the Lord that the Word of God is perfect. And I don't have any problem with the Word of God and the message. I have problems with the people that keep on handing me quotes without taking to the Scriptures. You know, if you don't have a Scripture, keep silence, friend. Keep silence, because that's what the message tells you. The message is a revelation of what's in here. You don't scratch your head and take quotes and splice them together. That doesn't work. We'll catch up with you later. So I'm so thankful to the Lord for His Holy Spirit. Now this morning, we talk about the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit is and so on. And you want to go tonight to continue the Holy Spirit? You want to go to repentance? What do you want to do? Class. The little boy's still here. How many like to go to the Holy Spirit? Continue. How many to repentance? Nobody wants to repent in this place. I'm telling you. It's getting worse, Brother Searle. But you know, repentance is a fabulous subject. If we know how to repent, it's a relief of the heart. You know that? But this morning, we tried to make an outline for somebody that wasn't here. We went to the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, what it is. And if I'm not mistaken, we start defining that the Holy Spirit cannot be blasphemed, because that sin will never be forgiven, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. From there, I want to Acts, the first chapter, the 18th verse, that you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And you shall be witness, and we explain that this word witness comes from the word, what is it? You remember? Martyrs. You remember that? You shall be a martyr. So it's not a picnic. It's strength, an inward strength of the believer that can stand under any circumstances. Do you know that? The martyrs stood with it, you know, and they witnessed Jesus Christ, and it wasn't just a choir clapping their hands. It were mothers giving their blood for their children and killing their children right in the front of them and so on. They had the strength of the Holy Ghost in them.
Amen.
When we start defining this, we went there and we said now back in the book of Acts, the 5th chapter, that the Holy Spirit will come to those that obey Him. The people of the book of Acts obey God and they got the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? God says go to the upper room and wait. They did it. That's what they did. And what was the reward? By the obedience to the word, they received the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Then from there, I think, to John, the 14, 15, and 16th chapter. And around the 16th chapter, somewhere down around the 7th verse, we saw that this Holy Ghost, the Comforter, cannot come until Jesus goes. He says, when I go, I'll send Him. And we saw that the Holy Spirit is really the evidence of the sacrifice of the resurrected Jesus, that the sacrifice has been accepted, comes to you and fills you with the Spirit, and identifies you with Christ at the cross, resurrected, all the way up, sitting potentially in heavenly places. From there we took the word comforter, from a comforter to a paraclete. Paracletos means that a defender at the court of justice. It isn't just somebody makes you feel good and goody-goody, but somebody that stands for you and defends you at the court of justice against your sins. Remember that?
Yes.
Then from there we say that you and I are human beings, we're under flesh, we got problems, we're going to fail God from time to time, but Jesus says through His Word, in the first John, He says, my little children, sin not. But if you sin, you have a paraclete. Am I right?
Yes.
So that tells you that if you fail God, don't sit around and feel sorry for yourself. Get a hold of yourself, stand in the Word of God and says, Lord God, I have failed you. Forgive me. Help me to go on.
Amen.
You know, all the provisions have been made for you and I. We don't want to take them sometimes. We just sit in there going, oh, I don't know, I failed God. He says, forget that. God says, go to Him. You have a paraclete, and it's not that you have to do something special, but God provided for you. The only thing you do, you claim it and go on with God. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
So now we see that the paraclete that stands there, he continues down. He says, now he's also the propitiation for our sins. Do you know that? And that word probably is pretty difficult for the little boy, but what it is, apolitros in litron, is the price that you pay for this. Now I remember when Adam and Eve fall, they violated the word of God. Am I right? It was a violation of the word, and that is sin. Sin is transgressing the law of God. So when Adam and Eve backslid and they brought all the way down the mess to every one of us, we see there that God comes, and here's the law of God, let's say, stands here. And here's the violator right here. God wrote the word, and the word is God right here. And God didn't say, because I'm God, I can do anything I want to. Not at all. Because he cannot break his word. He says, this fellow is guilty. And that word stands. What I have to do, I have to come down and pay the price of the demand of this law in order to deliver this. Am I right? You see, it's a judicial act. And what happens here, God takes all of a sudden and pays the price and delivers, not by breaking the law, compromising with the law, or say, that's my law, I can do anything I want to, but by fulfilling the law. That's the way today you can take the word of God and say, this is stable, cannot be broken. You can claim the promises, and you can get the judgments also. You know that? You know, everybody's tried to think positive and says now everything is positive with God, but God is not positive about sin. He's negative. You see, if you sin, he says you're lost. He make all the provisions now. So I'm sitting here and God says, I pay the price. And with the power of the flesh, I cannot fulfill this word. And God comes down, pays the price, and he says, now, because I have done it, if you are dead in me, you're going to do it. But if you try to do it, you'll never do it. Correct?
Yes,
isn't it beautiful? You see, the people cannot understand. You are not supposed to do anything but believing. Because if you attempt to do anything, you are polluting what God has done. You see, you and I are polluted beings. Anytime we try to help God, we mess it up. And the covenant with Abraham was done unconditional. You know that? God says, by myself have I swore, say the Lord. So no matter what takes place, God is going to do it anyway. So now God, by being the propitiation for my sins and yours, he paid that price, and he says, now I'll make another provision. What's the provision? My son, David Mamaly, is down there, and Betty Jones, no Betty Jones here. And down there, one of these days, they are going to get upset and fight with each other and have problems and this and this and that. So I know they know that I die for them. But let me say something, friend. Let's suppose that Christ came down here as the Lord, pay and deliver you. Let's say 1961. What about if you fail later? He make a provision, am I right? What about if you say, I will forgive you once, and if you fail another time, you are wiped out. You know something? I'll be wiped out next day.
Amen.
Correct? But God now makes a provision. He says, now listen. He says in 1 John, he says, now, he says, my little children, sin not. He says, but if you sin, he says, you have an advocate with the Father. You remember that word is parakletos. Klesis is a court case. Parakletos, I'm standing by the court case for you to defend you and forgive you. I love that, don't you? What good will it do to me if he forgives me in 61, January 1st and January the 2nd, I fail God again, I'm wiped out, I have no other chance. So you can see the love of God continues. When we were yet sinners, he loved us. None of us like to display our lives in a video and show to everybody. Am I right? None of us. But he knows it. And he still loves us. You think about the love of God. And that's not all that he does. He just doesn't cover something up. He makes a covenant. And that's the covenant of the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to restrict myself so I don't spread myself. That's the covenant of the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden he makes a covenant. He says, this is the covenant that I make with them. He says, wherefore the Holy Ghost also witnessed to us that after that you have said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after this day, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds I will write them. And their sins and iniquities I remember no more. I love that, don't you?
Amen.
A young lady comes, or an older lady comes, and prays. He says, Jesus, forgive me. This morning I was touched. A sister here, what might have been 75, 80 years old, very fragile hands, you know, she says, Jesus, forgive me. I said, oh my, I'm going to shake these hands in eternity. It shakes you up, you know. I'm going to shake these hands in eternity. I look at her hands, she was going, Jesus. I said, praise God, that God prolonged her life to come right here and says, Jesus, forgive me. Might have been something in their life. Might have been yesterday something. We don't know. But we see a soul reaching God. And what God does, listen to this. Let's suppose the sister comes and prays, the Lord forgives her. She goes back home, she thinks a little bit, she says, well, I'm going to try again because I'm not sure, really. I better try again. She comes down here, I look at her, I go there. And all of a sudden I hear a voice. She says, Lord, forgive me. And God says, I don't know what you're talking about.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Isn't it beautiful?
Yes.
Because he forgave her. He remembers it no more. He has the power to forget. And I don't. And you don't. I punch you in the nose, you remember it. Am I right?
Amen.
I don't care what you're going to do. I can come back in 3 weeks and says, Brother John Doe, forgive me. He says, Brother, I forgive you. Don't worry. But we still remember. Am I right?
Yes.
But he remembers no more, he said. It's finished.
Lord.
That never existed.
Hallelujah.
So now he makes all the provisions. And he says, now, because you are down there and you're in a mess, I'm sending you the Holy Ghost. And the people say, well, when I'm going to get the Holy Ghost, I'm going to dance in the Spirit. That's fine with me. But there's more than dancing in the Spirit, correct? There's nothing against dancing in the Spirit. It's beautiful. But just remember, friends, bodily exercise brought a little. Right? That's the word also. No matter how much you're going to shake up and down and praise God, foam for a little bit, it takes the word to defeat Satan. You know, you remember the disciples went over to pray for a demon, and he says, God, come out, devil, come out, devil. And all of a sudden I go to Jesus, they don't obey us. Jesus says, go and pray and fast. Forget that stuff. Right? Go and pray and fast. That comes only by prayer and fasting out. And now we saw that something there, that God says this, that by the Holy Spirit, and we know that word Parakletos, the defender of the court of justice, appears only 5 times. In the Gospels and 1 time in the Epistle of John. These 5 times is John 14:16, 14:26, 15:26, 16:7, and 1 John 2:1. Now remember, now God makes a promise. And you want the Holy Ghost, and I imagine many here have a big question, do I really have it? First guy comes around, you got to shake. The next one that comes around, shake your tongue up and down. The next one comes, you do this and do that. But no matter how much you're going to shake the body up and down, when there is sin, it's sin. Correct? And you see, Brother David, how do I know that I got the Holy Ghost? The first thing that he will do, you know, to do, he says, when he'll come, he'll reprove the world from sin. I like that, don't you?
Amen.
Some people, they don't even know what sin is. They don't care. They spit at you, they don't care. But he says, the verb elenho, who means, like at the customs, they're going to open your suitcase and look through everything. Check up everything. With other words, the Holy Ghost is going to start digging in you and say, hey, what about this? Oh, but she did it. I didn't ask you that. I said, what about this? What did you do? Am I right? You know, you hear strange things, and I mentioned that. Before I left the States, about a week before that, I got a phone call from a sister that has never given me trouble. You know, there are people that never give you trouble. There are others that are always trouble. And she says, Brother David, I said, yes, forgive me for the heartaches that I have given you while you pastor me. Somebody's getting ready for heaven. Do you know what I mean? Somebody's getting ready for heaven. Friends, let me tell you something. When that Holy Ghost comes, He will start checking up in you. And even sometimes you have an idea that probably you feel you didn't do it, but still deals with you. It's better to get rid of it instead of fighting with it.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen, bro.
Better to get rid of it. There's no reason to sit around and fight and fuss with it. Better get rid of it. And now He's going to start digging in me and in you. And He will say now, what about this? What are you going to do about this? What about that? I notice something quite often. There are many things we commit that we believe that time will take care of it. Time doesn't take care of sin. It takes the blood of Jesus to do it.
Amen.
Am I right?
Yes.
This kind of service is not a dance in the spirit. This kind of service is serious. We'll put you home to think about it. Deliver you. Help you to say, God of heaven, forgive me. And He's there. You got a paraclete, a defender of the court of justice, so don't forget it. The blood's still there for the propitiation of sins. Says, Lord, forgive me. Praise God. Hallelujah. God forgives you. He doesn't remember your sins anymore. You keep on going. What a plan of salvation. What a revelation of Jesus Christ to have. He didn't only save you once and lose you, but He still keeps the blood there for you to go anytime you need it. So now He says, I will provide that verbal enho and I will start reprove the world of sin. Do you know there are people that they have no conscience of what they are doing? Do you know that? They got a reprobate mind. Do you know that? Do you know what's a reprobate mind? It comes from the verb adokimon. The kimazo is test. They have no criteria to test what they are doing. Adokimon. To them, they don't even know the difference between seen and not seen. They don't know anything about it. And you know, no matter what you're going to do, we'll catch up with them later on. You can't run, you can't hide. So now the Holy Spirit, He said, Brother David, have I the Holy Ghost? I'm asking you, is that Spirit to reprove you from sin? Or you don't even know what sin is? But I'm right. I do this. I do that. Just a minute. It's not only the sin that's committed. It's who triggers it. You remember the charges that Jesus put? Whosoever putteth away his wife except the cause of fornication causeth her the cause of it. It's not sins that we commit. Sins that will become the instrument. We're talking like people are going to meet God any minute. It might be tonight. Do you remember what He says? Offenses will come into the church, but woe unto them that cause them. Very silence. Me too. I'm hurting. We got to face these things in the day of judgment. We're so independent anymore that we don't take correction or any word from nobody. Humility is gone. And we got the Holy Ghost. How do you know you got the Holy Ghost? I got a picture of Brother Branham. It's bad to think about these things, but when you start thinking the condition that we are, I was talking to somebody the other day, and that somebody, you know, was going on and on. I said, I like to read your verse. What are you going to do about the day of judgment? Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account. that they may do it with joy and not with grief.
Amen.
You know after that what it says? For that is unprofitable for you. And he says, for that is a shipwreck for you, destroys you. The only thing we know, Acts 2:38, Malachi 4, and keep on going. And there's the rest of the Bible. Somebody has to give an account. You know who wrote it? The Holy Ghost. Am I right?
Yes.
Do you know who's going to convict you? The Holy Ghost. Why? He says, what I say, you don't do it. It's that simple. What I wrote down, I'm not doing it, you are not doing it. So, Lord, what are we going to do? Lord, be merciful to me. Get up in the morning, says, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. You ask me, have I got the Holy Ghost? Have you got that reproof of sin? Is it checking you up? How long has it been since you cried before God? Repented before God? Friends, tell me something. If you knew that Jesus was coming the next hour, what else would you like for me to preach than to get you ready? What else? The only thing that will hold you from seeing God is sin. And I'm saying here, the Holy Ghost will reprove you from sin. Will check you up. I love the word, don't you?
Amen.
You know, it hurts. Some of the most powerful scriptures will push them on the side. God says in one of the epistles, I think it's in Corinthians, He says, if you're unfaithful, I'm faithful to deny you, I cannot. In other words, He said to you this. The Lord says, do this, and you don't do it. He's still faithful. He cannot deny you. But He says, if you deny Him, He'll deny you also. No matter how much of a mess you are, no matter what's the sin, no matter what's the rebellion, no matter what's whatever, remember, say, Lord, I'm wrong. That word stands, and I fail you. You know what's the guarantee? He'll never deny you. I love the word, don't you? Every time that I look at a scripture, I see the love of God. He said, I will deny them also. He says, if you deny me, I will not deny you. If you are unfaithful, He's faithful. To deny Himself, He cannot. What does it mean, faithful? Believing. What means unfaithful? You don't believe. So now we're getting the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Some people say, that's hard evidence. But that's the Holy Ghost. He wrote it. And now He's checking you up and says, are you doing what I'm talking about? But I'm in the message. No, that didn't ask you that. You cannot say I'm in the message and break the Word of God, because the message points you to the Word, correct? You know, God doesn't go by substitutions. We think sometimes, because I do this for God and I do this for God and I don't do this for God, but I offer this to God and so on, God is going to forgive me because of this or that. God cannot break His word.
Amen.
He came down to pay the price because He couldn't break His own word. He could say, now everything is alright, everybody's forgiven, I'm not going nowhere, I'm going to sit right here. But He cannot break His word. He came down to pay the price. You know, I look at these services that we had, and I said, if I had to do them over again, what I would do? I said, I go to repentance and the Holy Ghost. Repentance and the Holy Ghost. To go to the dark. You see, to see the people finding God. The people, I feel sometimes, in the middle of the wilderness, dropping their carcass, arguing about this, about that, about that. And they're taking everybody care of everybody's vineyard and forgot their own. I go through depressions and pressures. You know, I cannot see the devil beating up the people like that. I can't stand the devil.
Amen.
So he's going to start checking you up. He's going to say what? Reprove the world of sin. Which base? What is sin? Transgression of His law. What law? He wrote this book, right?
Amen.
The Holy Ghost. Now he says, that spirit, when he comes in you, but Brother David, will I speak in tongues? Go ahead and speak in tongues. It doesn't bother me. Will I stand in my head? Stand on your head. It doesn't bother me. But the only thing I'm saying, he said, when he will come, he will prove the world of sin, and sin is transgression of this book, and he wrote this book. He's going to deal with you. And we don't like to listen to it. But he's still hammering at you. I was traveling with a man one time. He said to me, I got the will of God for you. I said, for me? I said, I don't even know myself. He said to me, I got a check here. So he got a check of $62,000. He says, you and I are going to start the underground world in Russia. I said, I'm sorry, I just cannot do it. He said, that's the will of God, he said. He said to me, how do you know the will of God? I told him what I said to you. The Lord has to kick me many times. Kick me around until I have no choice and I do what I'm supposed to. I rest in his grace. You know that? I'm not the type of a person to come and say, the Lord told me this, the Lord didn't tell me that. I run away from his people. But now you see what happens. You come to a more serious time. That if I have the Holy Ghost, I have to examine what's the evidence. The first evidence is this. He will start convicting me from sin. And you know what? The absence of sin is going to hold me from sin heaven. How do you like this kind of an evidence? And he continues. Let me give you a positive before I go to negative, okay? I don't want to knock you on the head and leave you unconscious. On the 14th chapter, what he says here, and he says this, and I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that's another paraclete, that he may abide with you forever. What did he say? Abide.
Amen.
It's not a visitation business. He stays in here. I love that, don't you? Huh? You don't get the Holy Ghost today, you lose it tomorrow. That answers some questions for some people. Am I right? It abides in there. It has a dwelling place. And he's cleaning house. Do you know that? Gets the demons out. He's cleaning house. How? By repentance. And he says this, he says, that he may abide forever, even the Spirit of truth. Not truths, there's one truth.
Amen.
We're ready for the rapture and everybody got the truth and one doesn't agree with the other. The only difference between me and you, I'm a realist and I'll tell you what I see. And then he continues, he says, when the world cannot receive it because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But how do you know it? Because when you got the Holy Ghost, dwells in you. Right? That's how you know it. And start dealing with you and dealing with you.
Hallelujah.
And he continues, he says now, he says, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Glory to God.
People run. Where are you going? God is there. God is there. He said to me, did you hear that? God is there. I says, God is in here.
Right?
Right? God is in here. If he's not here, we'll never be nowhere. Let me tell you that much. If God is restricted from being in you and become the temple of God, you won't find God nowhere except in your knees through repentance and says, God, forgive me.
Amen.
And that's what we try to do here. We try to get each one of us to get closer to God, closer to God. But here God says this. He says, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will not give you orphans, is that word. Isn't it beautiful to have a Jesus like that, friends?
Amen.
To have a God that... I tell you, sometimes I feel that if we had a revelation who we are, this would have become a mental institution here. We'll be running if we knew who we are. You'll be afraid of yourself and you'll be running. But we're so self-righteous that we cover everything. If you ever see Jehovah and reveals who you are, friends, you know what you say? Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, the prophet said. And that's the man that had the word of the Lord. Do you know that? That's the man that had the word of the Lord. Amos saw the whole thing. And now we see here that God says, I will be in you, I will dwell in you. And he said, that day you know that I am the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. What is going on? He is with the Father, I'm in him, he's in me. Where? At the court of justice stands and waits. I send you the Spirit down, the Paraclete. I'm defending you. The Father and me are one. You cannot miss a case. I'm defending you before God. So you don't have to worry about anything. Keep on going. The question is, do you have the Holy Ghost? Now the devil knows the message and believes it. You know that? The devil is very religious. Very quiet. Go somewhere. Shake your hand, Mr. Judas. Do you love Jesus? Sure, I'm going to kiss you. And a knife in his back. Am I right? That's not how I kiss boys, girls. Now, all of a sudden we see here that God says, now here I will be one there. And what's going to happen? That Comforter, he says, is the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is the author too. The next thing I will do, he says, and for righteousness and for judgment. He says, remember, there is righteousness and there is judgment. Don't think because you got the Holy Ghost, you get by with anything. Am I right?
Amen.
There's a judgment coming. And what that judgment says, if you have violated, you're going to pay. So Lord says, I don't want to pay. I want to get close to you.
Amen.
How can I avoid judgment? By go to the one that paid the price. Correct? He says, here it is. We have a beautiful Jesus.
Amen.
I wish if I can get the Holy Ghost way back in the book of Genesis. Holy Ghost promise was back there. Do you know the Elijah fire back there? Do you know that? Do you know that the sacrifice was washed? Have you ever heard stand for righteousness and the Comforter has come, that Brother Branham says Jesus was baptized because he had to be washed the sacrifice? Have you ever heard of that? Do you know that Elijah washed the sacrifice before they got the burnt offering? Do you know that the fire came down and burned that sacrifice? But he got to repair the altar of the Lord first. I'm so thankful to Jesus, friends, and you young people. Listen, we have done many mistakes to offend you. We have not been the example of Jesus Christ. I've been the example of fights and arguments about doctrines. But I'm telling you one thing, Jesus is real.
Amen.
Don't judge Jesus and his word because of us. Go on with God. I mean that. I feel each one of these young people. Because sometimes we are so super duper. And we let them down to the wilderness, dropping their carcasses here and there, fussing and fighting about doctrine, instead of having the conviction of the Holy Ghost to see the rapture. Am I right? So now the 16th chapter, he says, when he'll come, they prove the world of sin. He's of sin because they believe not on me. Do you believe on him? Then don't sin. If you sin, you can't do it. You need the power. Am I right? So you go back and say, Lord Jesus, here my life is in a mess. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm running this, I'm running that, I do that. Just stop for a minute and look yourself at the mirror and say, I don't have it. I'm a fake. Jesus, help me. I want it.
Amen.
What about the rapture come the next 5 minutes? Where you stand? One of the sisters here will tell me the experience that she had, and I remember the time I was talking to Brother Branham and went on some things, and I went home and all of a sudden, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I had a nightmare that the rapture was taking place and I was left. There's nothing worse feeling than this. Reminds me of Korean War and everything, Air Force days. There's nothing worse than that. I want to reach in the closet of the bedroom to pick up the gun to blow my brains. And I said, what good would do that to you, to myself? If you are finished, you are finished. I'm realist, friends. I call black, black, and white, white. And I said, how do I know you guys come? I might be in a nightmare. And I got up. I ran to the phone. I said, I'm going to dial to somebody that I'm sure they are going to make it. And at the time, I was working in a congregation of about 380 people. And I can think only about three or four that had confidence that they pray and they are right with God. I can dial. If I hear their voice, I can say, Jesus is still here. You come to that state to hit a dead end, and all of a sudden, everything will rise up in the front of you like darkness. And you know, you're not thinking about the big guys there. You're thinking about Mrs. Nothing that has her little Bible coming with no shoes, holding her shoes, sits in the corner and says, Jesus. All the commercials are gone there. Everything disappears. And I can think of three people. Their darling, I says, when they answer 3 o'clock in the morning, when I hear their voice, I'm going to hang up. What a hypocrite. Wake somebody up to find the rapture came. That's true though, isn't it? And I said, darling, at the phone, somebody said to me, is your salvation based on man or me? I said, what good it will do to find out if it's here or not. I says, the only thing I can do, falling my knees, I says, Lord Jesus, if you haven't come, be merciful to me. And the Lord visited me that night. I didn't sleep. I was all night up, dancing in the Spirit, rejoicing in God. The Holy Ghost was so real. The Lord says, learn how to walk alone now. Am I right? Learn how to have this experience with God. I love to dance in the Spirit and lean on each other when the rain falls for the just and the unjust, but that will not take me to heaven. I have rather listened about the Holy Ghost that convicts me from sin. You'd be surprised how many broken hearts are around. Men and women, they don't even know which direction to go. Their life is squeezing them right at the end, eats them up. I talk to hundreds of them. I talked to hundreds of them. I left the university and I had an unlisted number for 10 years because I didn't want to be called anymore. But you know what is the answer? Right here. You know what it means for Jesus to forgive your sins and He remembers them no more? Do you know what a privilege it is to convict you from sin? Because you don't even know what sin is. He'll deal with you and tell you, that is no good, Betty. That's no good, David. That's what you did. Well, but praise God, I'm going to play a tape. That's an escape. And you know, when you violate the Word of God, the first few months or few weeks, you become super spiritual. Do you know? You get close to God and praise the Lord. Give it a little time. You're digging down a hole. Because any time that sin is not corrected in our lives. You say, Brother David, why don't you go in the Greek and give us the book of Revelation? No matter how much you're going to learn about the book of Revelation, the greatest mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. Do you know that? If that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, you don't have to know anything about Him. You're going to be up there. That's all He tells you. So now He says, because of sin and of righteousness, because I go to the Father, you see me no more. Righteous. Because He goes to the Father. What He's going to do up there? He's going to say to me, now you have another advocate with the Father. That's beautiful, isn't it? Do you know what it means to have an attorney at the court of justice? It's a beautiful thing. I said, Lord, tonight, help us. The time is gone. The little boy says, cut it up. But, you know, let me tell you this. What it is, friends, is each one of us. Don't put your condition on somebody else. If we do this, says, Lord, you wrote this word. Seems to me just a letter to me. Can you make it life and convict me? Lord, I believe one time I got the Holy Ghost, but seems to me it doesn't work right now. What's going on? Can I go back to God? You got an advocate. Am I right? The righteous, you can go right back to Him. For how long? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And let me tell you this. Listen to this. Christ in you will raise you from the dead. Am I right?
Amen.
Are you aware that this is the evidence of a divine healing? Do you know divine healing is based on the resurrection of Jesus?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Do you know that He heals this mortal body on the basis that He rose from the dead? Because, you know, one day, this mortal shall put on immortality. And all of a sudden, you see, the people will be gone. The bride will be gone. Then the people will scream. They pack the churches. They will do this and do this for God. It's over then. Can't be over tonight. I don't know why I'm here in New Zealand. I don't know. I pray I felt peace in my heart. The devil fought me for a year. Anytime I turn around, something gives, something takes. I don't want to answer the phone anymore. Before I came, I was getting even funny calls. Midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, wake me up, somebody laughs. Constantly. But is it possible that God is speaking to us to get things ready? God, you call a convention before you, because you feel good, a revival. I'm calling a convention a blessing because of conviction of sin. We have different views. I look at a sister and a brother when they leave from here in their home. I don't look at them how they act here. I looked at sister this morning, drunk in the Spirit, coming over to be baptized. She didn't even know where she was at. But you know what? She was in the arms of Jesus.
Amen.
I love that, don't you?
Yes.
She was in the arms of Jesus. I wish if I can be like her. I was jealous. I said, I wish if I can be like her, that they can have it all. Am I right? I wish if I can be like her, they can have it all. Why? Because she's in touch with Jesus. She's ready to go. She didn't know how to express the love of God. And He says to her husband, I love you, honey. She hugs her husband. I said, sure, the Holy Ghost will make you love your wife and your husband.
That's right. Amen.
Will convict you from sin. Am I right?
Amen.
Reprove the world of sin. You see, the Lord is talking to us with little things, and we are too proud to understand it. Look what Jesus have done to that little sister. She had her husband say, I love you, honey. Why? Because love your husband and wives. He wrote the book. He convicts me from sin. Keeps on going, keeps on going. So now God says, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to promise you divine healing. In one of the tapes, Brother Branham said this. He says, we cannot even believe for divine healing. How can we believe for resurrection? Do you know that God doesn't want you to be sick? He says, by His stripes, you were healed. We come before God and says, now, Lord, heal me now. The only thing you have to say, really, to do it right, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. I accept it now.
Amen.
Because He has already healed you.
Amen.
You were past tense. Correct?
Yes, brother.
Way back there. And what you do? You try to make Him to do it again? You consider this no good that He did back there? No. He says, Lord, forgive me for my unbelief. I'm sick. I want to be healed. Lord, help me. I'm accepting what You have done for me. Forgive my sin, and I'll do things right. But you know what? We don't like to leave the communion table. where it says, "For this reason there are many sick and afflicted among you, that you take the table of the Lord unworthy." Do you know that? It's a little doctrine there. Unworthy. We take it because of self. So what are we going to do tonight when we pray for you? Remember, the work, it's finished at Calvary. When he says it is finished, you cannot add anything or take away from it. He provides your healing back there, period. That's it. So what do? You look at yourself being sick. He says, "Lord, if there's a reason that I'm sick, forgive me." Am I right? Because we don't know. Do you know that? The most deceitful thing that the prophet said, he says, "Your heart is so deceitful above all things." Do you know your heart is deceitful above all things? But she said that. The scripture didn't say she said that. The scripture says your heart is deceitful above her and everything else. So quit blaming anybody else. Your heart is deceitful. So now we look at the circumstance. Is it possible that the Lord wants to heal me and I'm no good? Lord, forgive me. What do I do? I go to this and do this and burn a candle and pay $10 and no. He says, "He's the propitiation for my sins." Am I right?
Amen.
He paid the price. He's right now everything to me. He said, "He healed me." He says, "He forgives me." And I says, "Lord, forgive me for my unbelief." You say, "But my unbelief, Brother David, is so high, you cannot even measure it." I can measure it by the word of God that tells you this. If we are unfaithful, he's faithful to deny himself. He cannot. So why don't you lay in the arms of Jesus and let him take care of it? Am I right? You know, we go to Jesus, "Lord, I committed a sin. Forgive me." Why don't you go to Jesus, "Lord, forgive me for my unbelief." That's the same thing, isn't it? And he'll do it. I believe that you can pray tonight. People can be healed. Like I witnessed to you the first day, I saw a miracle with my own eyes. When an old man had a blockage that was swelling that big. 30 minutes before surgery, we pray. 6 people in the room. Ready to roll him down. Came 1:25. 1:30, he has to go to surgery. And all of a sudden, the noise. Whoa, his body. I said, "What is that?" Carl said to me, "Brother David, I don't hurt anymore." I said, "What?" He said, I don't hurt anymore. And I feel different. I just feel that the swelling goes down. I says, "Call the nurse." I says, "Prolong the surgery or give him another test." You know? If we believe that he did it, we don't have to fake it. Am I right? Give it a test. That's right, isn't it? Give it a test. The nurse looked at me and said, "I'm kind of a nut. We thought that was going to you. What are you doing?" He says, "What are you?" I said, "I'm a friend of the family. I just say this for the glory of God." And all of a sudden, you know, she calls the doctor. She says, "They want to postpone the surgery." The doctor says, "What?" Was talking to her. By that time, I went back to Brother Carl. Brother Cyril knows Brother Carl. "Brother David, I'm passing gas. I'm running down the hallway to the nurse." She was with the doctor. I said, "Tell the doctor he's passing gas." The doctor said, "Give him another test." He comes up. He says, "Well, we're going to give you another test." The test finished. Everything perfect. The Lord healed him.
Hallelujah.
He says, "We're going to keep him another day here." I said, "I don't care. Keep him a week." They are medical profession. You have a respect. Am I right to the man? He wants to make sure there are no complications. But I got Jesus. He has his profession. We'll put the things together and it works. So I says, keep him 2 days. It's all right. The insurance pays for it. Don't worry. Keep him there. They kept him. I said, "Carl, what they are doing?" He says, "I asked them to feed me. They don't give me enough meal." I say, "Yeah, listen, I go down to the nurse. Say, listen, you don't feed that man." I said, "The test show, okay, give him a meal." So they gave him a meal. He got up, walking around. So one of the doctors said, "What are you doing here?" He said to the doctor, "I want to go home."
Hallelujah.
The doctor says, "You go home. Never bother him again." Same Jesus is here, you know that? Can touch your broken heart. Can touch your body. Can heal you. And we're going to believe for that. Am I right? Remember, what we believe, it's completed down here. You're sick down here. That's simple. If you can't stand, you don't know what to do. He says, "Lord, forgive me for my unbelief," because he has already done it. Don't come here. He says, "Lord, please heal me." He has already healed you.
Amen.
Correct?
Right.
By his stripes we were healed. Past tense.
Amen.
So we'll put the two together and we're going to have us an answer. Your healing. I love that.
Hallelujah.
I don't know how you pray for the sick here, but I'm going to turn the service to Brother Cyril. I'd like to say it has been a pleasure being with you. I love each one of you. We'll be on the other side. Keep on going close to Calvary, friend. Ask for the Holy Ghost to deal with you. Keep on going. Keep on going. Don't lose the vision of Jesus. Don't lose it. Don't lose that vision. Brother Sterling, would you take over, please? Thank you again.